Welcome to Grief is the New Normal. I'm Dr. Heather Taylor, a licensed psychologist and grief specialist, here to help change the conversation about grief and build community and connection while we all adjust to this new normal we are living in. This podcast is for you if you are grieving or if you are supporting someone in a season of grief. I'm glad you're here. Welcome back, everyone. We have a lovely guest today, Erin Davis. She's an LMHC. And she is an OCD specialist, and she's going to be joining us for a super fun conversation today. So, Erin, welcome.
Hi, Heather. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me on your show. It's definitely a privilege.
Oh, well, it's a privilege to have you here. So I'd love to just kick us off with you introducing a bit about yourself and your background and what you do.
Okay. Yes. So my name is Erin Davis, and I am a licensed clinical mental health counselor out in small town North Carolina. And I have a podcast called Bossing Up, Overcoming OCD. And what led me to just launch that podcast was coming across so many patients who had experienced OCD their whole life. And research shows that people suffering from OCD, they wait 14 to 17 years before getting treatment.
Wow.
And yeah. So I thought with this podcast, I want to lower that barrier, change the conversation, kind of like your podcast, Heather. Like, let's just put more information, more resources out there to help people get further in their recovery journey, whatever that looks like. So in the podcast, I talk about getting the right kind of treatment for OCD, because not only do they put off getting treatment, but more than half the time, OCD is missed or misdiagnosed. Mm. So that's also something that I'm trying to change and help people understand what the right kind of treatment entails.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. That's, I am so surprised by that fact. 14 to 17 years before seeking treatment. That's a lot of life lived before asking for help. So in specializing in OCD and anxiety work, can you share a little bit about your journey to specializing in those diagnoses?
Yeah. So with OCD, it seems like, I mean, at any point in time in our lives, we could probably all qualify for OCD. I mean, thinking back into our college days when we're like worried about our final exam and we're studying like hardcore and all of those things. So anyway, there's just a lot that of misinformation that happens where people will say, oh, I'm so OCD. And it's like, but are you really?
Yeah.
I mean, because someone who truly has OCD, like the full-fledged OCD, they're more often than not, they are so involved with their obsessions and compulsions that it takes up their entire self.
Yeah.
Like their whole day is ridden with fear, and they're doing things that they feel embarrassed about, ashamed of, and they feel so alone.
Yeah.
And in being an OCD specialist, I feel like I'm trying to extend that hand and that reach to these people that suffer, because with OCD sufferers, it affects, hang on, let me get my facts straight. So it affects as many people as the amount of adults in the city of Houston, Texas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big city.
Yeah. Yeah. And not everyone is getting treatment. And then even if they do go get treatment, they're not getting the right kind of treatment.
Yeah.
So, and in doing the OCD work, again, I just want to be a light for people to help them achieve that, what I call OCD remission.
Okay.
Where it's like the OCD is no longer their master. And so they are the boss of their own life again and not their OCD monster.
That's so good.
Thank you.
So do you mind sharing about how your experience and work with OCD would relate to grief work? Maybe different ways that would manifest, or if you're working with someone. Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So in talking with you earlier, Heather, about how grief can make you feel really isolated, and people don't want to talk about your grief. And like with OCD, it can be very, very similar because a lot of times the OCD sufferer does feel alone.
Yeah.
And as an someone, if someone were experiencing OCD, they don't know how to talk about it. And then their family doesn't know how to talk about it. And oftentimes people with OCD, their family members may kind of put it in that box, like you've talked about with grief.
Yeah.
So, or they'll say, just get over it. Stop worrying about it.
Right.
And it's very invalidating for that person. And they think, well, no, duh, to stop worrying about it. But how? Like they really struggle with, how do I not worry about this?
Yeah.
And so those are the similarities that I see between grief and OCD. Is like, how do I move forward with my life and not have this dark cloud just rule over me minute by minute, day in, day out?
Yeah, I love that parallel between the two. And it's almost like I was working with a colleague a couple weeks ago, and they described grief as almost like learning how to hold hands with your grief and walk through life together with it because it's a part of you. Similarly with OCD, I would imagine it's learning how to live with your OCD and hold hands with it because you're walking with it. Like it's a part of you. It's a part of how your brain makes sense and order in the world around you. And how do we hold hands with it so that we can walk towards that remission state, towards that acceptance state? Do you feel like that fits?
Yes. And like with OCD, it is basically defined by intrusive thoughts. So it all starts with an intrusive thought. And the thing is, we all experience intrusive thoughts.
Absolutely.
It's just some people can like experience the intrusive thought and be like, oh, that was weird, but whatever. And like move on with their day or not even give it a second thought. Whereas someone with OCD, when they experience an intrusive thought, it like sticks around a lot longer.
Yeah.
And then they get into this like mode of like, oh, I need to do something about it. And then they have some type of experience where it's like, oh, well, if I check the doorknob 5 times, then it feels safe. Mm-hmm. And so in the therapy work, we're teaching them, where I'm teaching them ways that they can live their life without having to do all of these excessive checks and balances, if you will.
Yeah.
And almost living with that uncertainty, because probably similar with grief work. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty that arises when you're experiencing grief, but then also with anxiety and OCD, there's just managing the intrusive thoughts and managing the uncertainty in a way that's healthy.
Yeah. That just instantly makes me think of when you're managing the uncertainty. So you're in a newly bereaved state and it brings to question your own mortality. Like, am I going to, is there something going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me after I die? Like, is my loved one okay? All of those existential questions or spiritual questions, they can bring a lot of uncertainty and discomfort. And how do we have distress tolerance within that? I mean, I remember a client I worked with, they were terrified of their parents getting in the car. They lost a sibling. They were terrified of their parents getting in a car together because like, uh-oh, what if something happens and then I'm left alone? And that's an intrusive thought. And that was something they struggled with for years after losing that sibling, was just that automatic thought that like, I hope they're going to be okay. And that uncertainty that there are no guarantees in life. And how do we cope with that? The discomfort of that.
Right. And with OCD, you can never give it enough reassurance.
Yes.
Never.
Yeah.
Like never have you ever given it just the magical answer and your OCD is like, oh, I'm good now. I'll go. Yeah. I'm satisfied.
Yeah. Oh.
Never.
Yeah. So I think that's such a good parallel between the two spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when working with clients with OCD and say they experience a loss, they're in that newly bereaved state, how do you see grief playing out in those situations? Does it exacerbate it? Does it bring out some new obsessions, compulsions? Like, how does that look?
Absolutely. Yeah. And with OCD, it's based in the anxiety disorder category. And so when grief happens, I mean, their anxiety can skyrocket.
Right.
And also the hopelessness can increase because oftentimes, and here's another similarity, the OCD creates so much isolation that they get depressed.
Yeah.
They feel like my life is never going to be any different. I'm just going to be a victim to these intrusive thoughts or these compulsions. And so anyway, whenever they are experiencing grief or they're in a season of grief, they're wanting to take control. And obviously there's no undoing what has happened, but they want to try to prevent future.
Yeah.
Well, try to prevent future grief experiences from happening, whether that is to their own selves or to others. Because sometimes OCD shows up in a way of like, what if I accidentally, you know, suicide myself? Or what if I accidentally get someone sick? So that one happens so much. So there's a lot of like, and we call it, so there's different subtypes of OCD as well. And it's just to kind of help name it in a way.
Yep.
So can't like health OCD. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the suicide OCD and contamination OCD, scrupulosity. And then the other thing that happens when it comes to their grief experiences, they're wanting to take control. They're wanting to stave off the feared situations from happening. And then the third thing, so kind of like with grief, how it can be in the ebbs and flows of the different emotions. Well, OCD is a shape shifter.
Oh.
And yeah, it's fascinating, but also very troubling for the person who's experiencing OCD. So a grief experience may be like the catalyst to a new OCD theme.
Okay.
Yeah. And so what the person will do is they'll say like, oh, I wish I had my contamination OCD back. Like, I really don't like this health OCD thing that's going on. Or I really hate this. The suicide OCD is the worst one ever. But what happens is the OCD, it attaches to what you value most. And so whenever you are in a season of grief or loss, your OCD may very likely attach to your family or to your pets or anything that you love and value and cherish, because we consider OCD as ego dystonic, meaning it goes against your values. Mm. And so that's why it's also so distressing for people, because they're like, well, I'm a very kind and sensitive, nice person. Why would I even think about taking a knife to do XYZ?
Yeah. I am not as educated in OCD. So that's just really powerful language and such good insight into how OCD manifests. And the shape-shifting concept, I hadn't heard of that before. And yet it makes total sense. 'Cause if you're having this new stressor come in, the focus is going to shift, especially if it's death related or loss related. Wow. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. That's really helpful.
Yes. Yeah.
So how do you see, or I guess, because you mentioned that it can be 14 to 17 years before someone with OCD seeks treatment, do you think, or have you seen grief come up around that they suffered that long before finding support? So maybe some grief around their diagnosis or their grief around the lack of treatment and suffering for so long. Is that common or is that something you've seen?
Right. Yeah. And totally good point. So a lot of times they're in that anger stage of like being so mad and upset that they have, well, not only let all this time go by, because most of the time, once they enter the room with me, they're like, I am so done. Yeah. I am so done with this. And it's fascinating in a way that they will look to therapy as a last resort. And I want to change that narrative of like, therapy is the first resort when you're dealing with OCD. And anyway, yeah, so they oftentimes they're angry about the loss of time that they've experienced from the OCD, not only putting off treatment, but also the time it has taken away just from their day-to-day life. Because a lot of times they're late to appointments. They're not getting assignments turned in. They're not hanging out with friends because they're so caught up in their compulsions that they can't fulfill these other responsibilities. But now the interesting thing is, let's say I get someone who's fresh in the OCD world and they've not had an OCD diagnosis before. They feel relieved because we've named it. We've identified what this is. And they're like, oh, that makes so much sense now. And so they actually feel a sense of relief. However, the grief aspect comes in for them when it's like, it's kind of like grief. Like, you can't change what's happening, but you can change how you move through it. Because what people want, and the misconception is like, they want to experience a brain or a mindset where there's no intrusive thoughts at all. And like, that's not realistic. And so having that conversation in a compassionate and gentle yet informative way of like, you're going to still experience intrusive thoughts, but they won't be as distressing. So I explain it like, we're turning down the volume. Yeah, we're turning down the volume on these intrusive thoughts so that they don't feel as stressful, they don't feel as intense, and they're not going to happen as frequently. And then when they do, you know how to handle it.
I use a very similar metaphor with grief work in turning down the volume, because it's like the radio is always going to be playing in the background. That grief is always going to be there. It's by talking about it, doing that oscillation between grief work and restorative work. That's what helps us turn the volume down. So it feels like life is more manageable, more livable, because the volume, our grief radio is not blaring super loud. And that takes time to figure out what it means or looks like to turn the volume down. So I use that similar metaphor.
Awesome.
Wow. Yes. Thank again. Just really great insight and language about OCD and the day-to-day impact. And I'm just really valuing this conversation. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So what would be two or three important takeaways to really understand that relationship between OCD and grief, in your opinion?
Yeah. So 2 to 3 takeaways I would say is, number one, really be understanding and kind of like do your research about OCD. I think it's insensitive in a way to say like, oh, I'm so OCD when you're not spending more than an hour a day wrapped up in, let's say, like washing your hands compulsively until your hands bleed, or you are avoiding eating because you're so afraid of throwing up, or you're not going to sleep at a certain hour because if you go to sleep at that hour, then someone's going to die. Like, it can be, and it doesn't have to necessarily match. And that's the other like confusing part for an OCD sufferer. It's like, I don't understand why tapping the table 3 times helps someone not get in a car wreck, but that's what feels right. Yeah. So anyway, I would say just being understanding. And the other takeaway here is raising awareness about finding a therapist who specializes in OCD, because there are plenty of therapists out there. And I'm not knocking anyone, but just as a challenge to therapists out there also, don't say you treat OCD if you don't do the right kind of treatment. Yeah. And so the right kind of treatment is exposure and response prevention, because in doing the exposure and response prevention work, research shows that you're going to get better, and you're going to get better sooner rather than later. And it's helping you deal with the uncertainty and as well as get your life back. And that is so rewarding whenever I'm working with a client from start to finish. And on average, it's only 12 to 15 sessions. Can you imagine? So you're looking at 3 to 6 months. And so anyway, with my podcast sponsor, I just want to throw in there, it's NoCD. And NoCD was founded by the CEO who also experienced OCD himself. And he was a college athlete. I think he was like a football quarterback. Oh, wow. And when he had his first OCD like episode, it was, so with an OCD episode, it's like whenever the OCD comes in very intensely and it really increases on, it turns up the volume, right? And so he went from being a college athlete to being homebound and alone, couldn't get out of the house, went to a therapist, and the therapist didn't give him the right kind of treatment, and he got worse. And so once he finally found a therapist that specialized in OCD and he got the treatment he needed, within 6 months, he was back on his feet doing the things he needed to do. And that's why he founded his company and his organization.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So making meaning from his own loss and struggle, that's always a really good, powerful message. That like there is hope and relief available.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you don't need to wait the 14 to 17 years to get help because help is available today. And then the other takeaway I would say is not putting judgment on yourself. Okay. Because if you're experiencing intrusive thoughts, I want the audience to remember that these thoughts are, they don't define you. And so just because you think these things, it doesn't mean it's true. And just because you feel it, it doesn't mean it's dangerous. And so a lot of people are, I mean, we can be our own worst enemies sometimes and put a lot of judgment on ourselves. And I would just encourage people to not put any self-judgment on you for these intrusive thoughts because they are not you.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, Erin, is there anything I haven't asked you about that you were hoping we would touch on today?
I think we covered it all.
Cool. So you are a busy lady. You have some exciting projects in the works. Do you mind sharing about those projects and how people can connect with you?
Yes. So first of all, they can connect with me through the podcast, and it's called Bossing Up Overcoming OCD, and it's on all the podcast players, but you can listen on Apple, Spotify, the podcast player of your choice. I've also released a pre-therapy OCD workbook, and in that,
Look at you. So I'll have to put that link in the show notes.
Yes. So in the workbook, it outlines exercises that I literally do with my clients in the first 3 to 5 sessions. And so again, I'm trying to break down that barrier of like, if you don't know where to get started with treatment or what to do for treatment, you can start with my workbook. And I say that it's a pre-therapy workbook because you still need to get into therapy. Yeah. And then the other project I have coming in this summer of 2024 is going to be a private podcast on mindfulness. And mindfulness is a very good technique and strategy for, I mean, a lot of situations, but it's definitely helpful for OCD because in mindfulness, you are not putting judgment on the situations. Yeah. You're also being in the here and now. You're being very present oriented. And so I love how you can see when someone reaches that freedom of being in the here and now. And mindfulness is a practice. And so it's not just a one and done kind of thing. And so that's why I am developing this private podcast where people can really go alongside me in this journey of practicing mindfulness in a very real way. Because the other thing that I've seen is people say, oh, that's hippy dippy baloney. It doesn't work for me. Sure. And so it's like, no, I'm going to show you how to use it in practical ways. So like I've even walked through the grocery store and I've done a whole podcast episode about how I mindfully went grocery shopping.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'll have to take you along in my earbuds grocery shopping with me sometime. That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. And so people can find me on my website at valuedriventherapy.com. Awesome.
Well, Erin, thank you so much again for joining today. It was such a treat to get to have this conversation and also realize so many parallels between grief work and OCD work and all about learning how to hold hands with those things that come up for us and walk through them to hope and healing. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Right. Thank you. This was fun.
All right.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Grief is the New Normal. It's been such a treat getting to do these interviews, and I look forward to more interviews to come. Next week, we're going to have a special episode in time for Mother's Day, looking at different aspects of loss around losing your mom, and also talking a bit about the journey into motherhood and how complicated and challenging that can be and the grief associated with that journey. Remember to be kind to yourselves today, and I'll see you guys next time. Thanks. Music provided by The Datacorns. If you're interested in collaborating with me, please feel free to email at hello@griefisthenewnormal.com for topics, or if you'd like to be a podcast guest. Don't forget to hit follow along so you can be notified when the next episode comes out. And the episodes are now updated to listen on all available podcast platforms. Thanks.